O Lord, open thou my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
O come, let us worship the Lord.
For He is our Maker. O come, let us
continue with hymn 71. Please be seated. And please rise for confession and absolution, which is inserted in the front of our hymnal. Do you humbly confess and heartily lament all your sins, and declare so by saying, I do.
I do.
Do you believe that God, your merciful Father, for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Savior, pardons all your offenses? Then declare so by saying, I do believe.
I do believe.
Are you resolved as long as God gives you life to live that life in his fear and to his glory? Then declare so by saying, I am resolved.
I am resolved.
Then let it be for you according to your faith. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
This morning's responsive psalm reading is Psalm 93, which is found on page 143. The Lord reigneth, he is clothed with majesty.
The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself.
The world also is established,
that it cannot be moved.
Thy throne is established of old,
thou art from everlasting.
The floods have lifted up, O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice.
The floods lift up their waves.
The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters. The testimonies are very sure. And please be seated. This morning's confessional reading from Luther's Large Catechism, continuing with the fourth commandment, thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. Where do you suppose all the many rascals come from who daily must be hanged, beheaded, or executed, if not from their own disobedience? For they do not let themselves be trained with kindness. The result is that they bring themselves under God's punishment and into obvious misfortune and misery, for it rarely happens that such scoundrels die a normal death at a normal time of life. The godly and the obedient, however, have God's blessings. They live long in the peaceful enjoyment of life. They see their children's children to the third and fourth generation, as said above. Experience also shows that where there are fine old families that flourish and have many children, it is obviously because some were well brought up and thought much of their parents. On the other hand, as Psalm 109:13 says of a godly person, may his prosperity be cut off. May his name be blotted out in the second generation. So take to heart how important God considers obedience, since he values it so highly, is so greatly pleased with it, and rewards it so richly, and also punishes so strictly those who are disobedient. All this I say in order that it might be impressed deeply upon the young. For nobody believes how necessary, despite the fact that under the papacy it was not followed nor taught, this commandment is. Everyone thinks these are such plain and simple words, words that in any case he knows well. So he skims over them lightly and begins gawking at something else, failing to see and realize how greatly he angers God when he bypasses this commandment and how precious and God-pleasing a work it is to keep it. So far, the confessional reading. This morning's Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as a flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the Spirit of the Lord blows upon it. Surely people is grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. So far, the Old Testament lesson. This morning's epistle, Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So far, the epistle lesson. And please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 1. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. He hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware unto our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in the darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the wilderness or in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel. So far the gospel lesson. This morning we confess the Apostles' Creed, which is found on page 12. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And please be seated. Blessed be the God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
By way of introduction, St. Luke tells us Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. You see, he could have never spoken those words by his own power, by his own motivation. Again, they are, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. The day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light unto them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. In order to appreciate the dawn of a new day, we must have the understanding of the darkness that precedes the dawn. Zacharias understood this very well. Israel had waited for centuries for the dawn of this new day. The priests offered the daily sacrifice. They burned incense to signify God's acceptance of the prayers of his people. And how they longed for the time when these ceremonies, which were to foreshadow the coming of the Messiah, would finally be completed and God's promise would be fulfilled. So it was that when Zacharias was performing his duty in the temple, the angel Gabriel appeared to him and announced that his wife Elizabeth would bear a son who was to be the forerunner of the promised Messiah, John the Baptist. Zacharias could see the shadows of the old beginning to fade. The dawn of a new day was beginning. The Savior of the world, now conceived in Mary, is as good as born. He describes the Savior as a horn of salvation. And by describing the Messiah as a horn of salvation, Zacharias indicated how completely adequate is Christ's strength to save us from the enemies, sin, death, and the power of the devil. This new era would be different from the old. God in his mercy would now provide the perfect sacrifice once and for all in the person of his only begotten Son, introduced by John the Baptist as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The writer of Hebrews writes that this Lamb of God is holy, harmless, undefiled, separated from sinners, made higher than the heavens, who needed not his sins to be, who needed not daily, as those other high priests, to offer up sacrifices first for his own and then to his people. For this he did once when he offered himself on that cross. In other words, the Christ child indeed means the dawn of a new day. The angel Gabriel also assured Zacharias that his son would be the forerunner of this Messiah. Multitudes would go out to hear John preach and announce the ministry of this Messiah. Preparation must be made before his appearance. The knowledge of salvation through forgiveness of sins earned by Jesus Christ must be communicated to the people of God. This would be the work of John. Indeed, Zacharias had every reason to be excited. The day spring from on high meant that the dawn of a new day, not only for him to enjoy, but also in which to serve without fear in holiness and righteousness until God would finally call him home. Now, how does all of this apply to us? Is there a reason for us to get excited about Christmas then? I mean, the real meaning of Christmas? The answer to these questions becomes obvious when we understand our blessings and our responsibilities. We should keep in mind that by nature, we too were among them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. But when we were baptized, or when we first believed the gospel, a new day in the Christ child dawned for us. And that's when we were called out of darkness into his marvelous light. We now know and believe that there is a Savior who has come and has removed this load of sin that weighed us down. He did this by paying for it himself. Our Savior satisfied both the justice and the mercy of God. In him centers all of our hopes. The windows are thrown wide open for another year of grace. Will it be a good year? Or will it be a bad year? We don't know. But we do know that we are his children, children of the new day through Christ child. We rejoice, for we know he will go with us every single step of the way, no matter what happens to us. He also wants us to know our obligation to those around us, be it family or friends who still walk in darkness of sin, materialism, self-righteousness, or just don't care. It too needs to be the dawn of a new year for them. And it will not be found in the fading frills of a secular Christmas, but only as we have found it in the Christ child. God has called us into his kingdom for such times as this. Having been delivered from the bonds of Satan, we serve God without fear, and we serve him in holiness, and we serve him in righteousness. As we prepare to set our feet toward Bethlehem, to experience the true peace and joy of Christmas, may we remember who still sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. And this is a very serious thing. With our witness of hope and faith that is in us, when we make known the significance of Christ's coming, will then be the means of guiding perhaps their feet into this way of peace and to the dawn of a new day in the Christ child. It is into this darkness comes the day spring from on high. Jesus Christ is the light of the world to show us the right path, the only road to our salvation, the only road to heaven. Darkness and uncertainty disappear when we take his hand and we follow him. He is the light that never fails. If we want to be certain of our salvation, look to the Christ child who says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." At Bethlehem's manger, we gain the conviction which tells us, "I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." In the Christ child, as God's greatest gift, we have complete forgiveness of every sin. Just think about that. We are able to separate us. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God. And we have complete forgiveness of every single sin that we have ever committed. At the manger, we know that we are saved forever by mercy which cost us nothing, but which sent our Savior to the cradle and then to the cross. Jesus had to shed his blood to meet the demands of divine justice, to remove our sins and reunite us with the Father. Yes, Christmas is something to get excited about. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding abide with us through this morning and extend itself into the joys of eternal life, heaven. Amen.
Amen.
And please be seated.
Come.
And let us pray for our communicants. Lord Jesus Christ, who callest unto thee all that labor and are heavy laden to refresh them and give rest unto their souls, we pray. Let us this morning experience your love of the heavenly feast, which you have prepared for us here on earth. Keep us all from impenitence and unbelief, so that no one will partake of this holy sacrament to their damnation. Take off from us the spotted garment of our sinful flesh, our self-righteousness, and give us the garment that has been purchased with your holy precious blood. Strengthen our faith, increase our love and hope, and after this life, grant us all a place at your heavenly table, where we shall eat of the eternal manna and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own sake. Amen.
Amen.
We continue our liturgy on page 35 with the Te Deum Laudamus.
Thank you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings be ordered by thy governance, may be righteous in thy sight. We pray this through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Amen. And please be seated.
True body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given today for the forgiveness of your sins. Take the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for the forgiveness of your sins.
We drink this to you as well. Drink the blood of Christ.
Lord bless you and keep you in the name of Jesus. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Strengthen and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith and the life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen.
Thank you.
Please rise and join me in the Psalm of Thanksgiving, the 23rd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. We thank you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this blessed and life-giving gift, and we earnestly pray that it would be mercy, that you would strengthen us through this holy meal in faith toward you, in love toward all mankind, in patience under the trials that we must face in this life, and in the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen.
Amen.
Blessed be the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.
I know that we will start having joint worship in January.
There's a sign-up sheet for members of the congregation. Families, please sign up because we'll have more, we'll have double congregation. And you don't necessarily have to bake. You can bring fruit or eggs or cheese and salami, whatever. And if you're not able to stay, we'll gladly make sure you get your pan back. It will be empty, of course.
Okay, that excerpt is in this morning's bulletin. There's a lot of things coming up. You know, check on the times, the dates, and the places. Next Sunday, we have a joint worship service. And just be aware of the change coming in January. And I guess that's about it. Anybody else have anything?